Good evening, everyone. If you would, find your seat, please. It's good to see you all tonight and want to welcome you to The One Thing, Testimonies of Transformation. Yeah. I tell you, I do believe this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I don't know, but it's crazy to think that in 7 weeks you'll hear from seven members of our pastoral staff sharing their journey and what's been most meaningful to them. And for some it might be one thing, for others it might be a couple of things. Next week, Christine and I'll be sharing. You know, I've just got to say, Pastor Leon, I know you're kicking off tonight, but this is insane. I mean, you're gonna come next week and have no cookies, no piano.
That's right. This is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We're gonna get up and just stand and do our thing and rely upon the Lord and only the Lord. And here we have, well, some people need more help than other people, okay?
And I didn't even have to say that. Oh, that's great. Seriously, I really appreciate the commitment of our pastors to this. I mean, you know, you have Pastor Leon who's has to step away from choir to do this, and later on Pastor Keith will be stepping out of Thrive to do this. So to get seven people to commit to this one block is just, I deeply appreciate it, and I know that you do too. Our hope is to accomplish a couple of things. We want you to connect with the pastors maybe a little bit more intimately and collectively, and also to give you some takeaways as different ones of us have experienced different things, many years of ministry and living for the Lord. And our hope is that each week you would find a nugget, that there would be something that the Holy Spirit would just impress on your heart to take home and put in your life and as a result, be encouraged and changed. We are going to receive an offering tonight. I know some people come on Wednesdays and you have tithe or you have things that you're going to be giving, and we want to give you that opportunity to do that. So if our ushers could make ready, let's open in prayer. Now, Father, we do come to you tonight with much anticipation. Lord, we thank you, God, that any time we gather together, there you are in our midst. And Lord, the most exciting thing tonight is that you are here. And so, Lord, we just commit this time to you. Bless this time. Anoint Pastor Leon as he shares. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you're ready, just go ahead and pass that, if you would, please. Thank you. 10 years ago, when Christine and I first came to CCC, Wednesday night was in the sanctuary, and teaching was Pastor Leon. And he did, I don't know what you did, 2, 3, 4 weeks, I'm not sure. But I got to tell you, that was just an awesome, awesome class. We so enjoyed that. Look back upon that and remember how much we just loved being a part of that. And I've been after this guy for 10 years to try to get him to do a life lesson class. It took 10 years, and I got one Wednesday night out of him, but I'll take what I can get. And because the choir, those of you that are in choir, you get to experience Pastor Leon's leadership and love for Jesus every week. But the rest of the congregation, of course, we enjoy a Sunday morning, but we don't see behind that Sunday morning, and tonight you have that rare privilege. And I've got to say, Pastor Leon, I do so much, and as I know, I echo everyone in this room, so much appreciate your love for Jesus, your love for worship, and your love for the presence of God, and your desire to see those around you led to that place. So much appreciated. Thanks for sharing tonight. Let's welcome Pastor Leon.
Well, here we are. Well, No, it's great to be here tonight. Thank you so much for coming. This is an awesome crowd. Now, what you probably don't know is that you think that you are here for a life lessons class, and indeed you're not. This is choir rehearsal. We're going to have a little choir action tonight, okay? La, 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 la. All right. Okay. Hey, I want to thank Tim Lemke and Tom Campbell and Travis for coming tonight and helping us out. And Trisha over here on projection. Trisha, thank you. She did all the setup, and I think she baked all the cookies and did all that kind of stuff. You are amazing. You are absolutely amazing. Hey, this has nothing to do with anything that we're here to do tonight, but I read something this morning. And I thought, I need to begin our class tonight with this scripture. I am reading right now out of Psalms, and it's Psalms, it's the Passion Translation. And I absolutely love it. And I try to read at least two Psalms a day. And I try to not just read it, but I try to meditate on it. I try to think about what it's saying. And then I say to myself, you know, self, how are you going to apply this today? When are you going to find time today to do what I have just read in the Word of God? You know, that's really important. People read the Word, but they don't do anything with it. We just read it, right? And I want to learn, you know, I'm getting a little older now, and it's about time that I start learning how to apply some of these things to my life. And everyone said, amen. Well, anyway, this is what I read this morning, and it was so incredible. It's Psalm 92. It says, it's so enjoyable to come before you with uncontainable praises spilling from our hearts. How we love to sing our praises over and over and over to you, to the matchless God, high and exalted over all. At each and every sunrise, we will be thanking you for your kindness and for your love. And as the sun sets and all through the night, we will keep proclaiming that you, O Lord, are faithful. Amen? Melodies of praise fill the air as every musical instrument and every heart joins in worship together. No wonder we are so glad. How can we keep it in? Lord, I'm shouting with joy over all that you've done. For all that you've done for me. What mighty miracles and your power at work, just to name a few. Listen to this line. Depths of purpose and layers of meaning saturate everything you do. I'm going to read it again. It says this. Depths of purpose and layers of meaning saturate everything you do. Isn't that like our God? God goes deep, amen? He really does. And I just want to sing his praises over and over and over again. You know, sometimes people say, you sing the same song so many times. Well, the Bible says sing it over and over and over. And so I believe that that's what we should do. So before we do anything tonight, come on, let's stand together. And we're just going to worship the Lord. The Lord is already here, but I want him to absolutely create his throne upon the praises of the people, among the praises of the great congregation. You're the great congregation tonight. Are you ready to worship him? Are you ready to say, Lord, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to adore you. I'm going to extol your name. I will exalt you forever and ever with joy and laughter, O Lord. I will lift up your name, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing, I will bless the Lord forever. I'll bless your holy name. Lift it up. bless you, Lord. Come on, let's just fill this room tonight. Just begin to magnify the Lord. Exalt his holy name. He is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, how we love to praise you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. You ask me, who do I say that you are, and I say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You ask me, who do I say that? Say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You ask me, who do I? We bless you, Lord. Yeah, sing it out. I shall worship you in song, O Lord. I shall lift up my new song unto you. You are my rock and my redeemer. You are the glory and the lifter of my head. And how I love to worship you. I love to tell of your goodness, Lord. I love to tell of your kindness. I love to tell of your mercy. How I love you, Lord. How I love you, Jesus. There's none like my God. None like my God. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your presence, which is so strong in this room right now. I thank you, God, that you are here. I thank you that you're going to do something incredible tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we can proclaim and declare that our God is faithful. I thank you, God, that we can gather together in your name and tell of your goodness. I'm grateful tonight that we can be in a land where we can over and over and over sing our praise to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. I thank you for a people, Lord, who desire to do that very thing, to lift up your name. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to do here tonight. We just give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in preparing tonight, I discovered one thing. The one thing is I don't have just one thing to share with you tonight. I quickly have come to understand that there are so many things that I could really grab onto and say, you know what, the Lord has done this or the Lord has done that for me. But tonight I want to talk about the worship. You know, God called me at a very young age to be a worshiper. And I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what it was going to look like. I didn't even know what really, what direction he would take me in or how I was going to do what I was going to do. But one thing I found out, and that is God always has a plan for his people. And I pray that as I share with you some of the things, some of the beginning things that happened with me, I pray that it will encourage you. I pray that through it all that you will see that God is forever faithful. Amen. He is forever faithful. And God always has a plan. He really does. He has a plan to get you where he wants you to be. And so I really, in thinking about all of that, I was reminded of a song that the choir sings. And it says this. And remember, now I'm coming from the perspective of I'm going back in time. And I'm thinking of, you know, how it all began for me. And I got to tell you something. I was a little surprised yesterday when I was at the computer and I'm kind of typing away, typing out my thoughts, remembering some things that, to be honest with you, I kind of forgot about. I became, sitting in my office, overwhelmed at how faithful God is. I cannot tell you, well, I'm about to tell you, how absolutely faithful the Lord is. He has done things for me that I can't even imagine. You know, I'm a little older now. You know, now I'm in my 30s. And so, I know. And so now that I'm a little older, it's like I have this window of opportunity to look behind me. Hindsight is so wonderful, and I see what the Lord, where I was, who I was, and who I am today, and I am like, you got to be kidding. God is not just faithful. He's very creative in how he makes things happen. But anyway, the choir sings a song, and it says this, as I look back over my life, I can see how your love has guided me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone, but you forgave me, and you kept on blessing me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. I have hope. Everyone say hope. We have hope tonight. Therefore, I have hope. It's because of your mercies that we are not consumed. Because thy compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I thought of that song because I'm like, you know, that's me. That's me. When I look back at my life, God has shown his love, his compassion, his mercy. And you know, I already said it, but you know, there's always hope and there's always a plan. I can tell you now that where I'm at today, looking back, that it doesn't matter how you grow up. It doesn't matter who raised you. It doesn't matter what you're qualified to do. Your qualifications are no concern to the Lord. He doesn't worry about the qualifications. And so, you know, thinking about that, I had an article that I had read a long time ago, and I put it in a file, and I just love it. When Jesus was picking out people who he chose to use. Now, again, I'm thinking, you know, God chose to use Leon. He is very creative, you know, and he sees something in me that I didn't see in myself. How many understand that statement? You know, I'm like, you got to be kidding. I know who this person is, and yet he chose to use me. But if you look in Scripture, I love this. You know, think about this. Jacob was a cheater. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul murdered. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossip. Martha, well, we know that she worried all the time. Moses stuttered. Elijah was moody. Sarah was impatient. Anyone struggle with patience? Yeah. Yeah. And Abraham was old. I'm just reporting. Abraham was old, and Lazarus was dead. But that didn't matter. God decided that he was going to use all of these people. He decided that he would be the one that would qualify them. No matter where we are in life, God has a plan, and he will qualify you for whatever he's called you to do. I look back, and I'm like, only God could do what he has done in my life. I didn't have all the qualifications. In fact, I had none. The only thing I knew is that God would always see me through. The truth here, I have one truth. And it is this: God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. I want you to think about that. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And I'm going to talk more about that later. But, you know, God says, you know, Leon, I've created you in my own image. He's reminding me over and over that he has placed a gift within me, and just like he has you. He tells me that I'm the apple of his eye. And he tells me that I've been crowned with his favor for a lifetime. And he tells you all the same thing. You have been crowned with favor for a lifetime. I say that in choir all the time. Let us never forget that we have, you know, the word favor here in the Bible means you have an advantage. Boy, I don't know about you, but I need every advantage I can get. And God says, I have crowned you with favor. I have crowned you with an advantage. And you know, when things don't go the way that I want them to go, or perhaps, you know, you fall and you stumble and you have disappointments along the way, God has this way of picking you up and setting you back up. And he says, hey, I want to adjust that crown of favor I put on your head. That's who God is, and that's what he has done for me. And that's what he will do for every person here. I'm no one special. But I do know one thing, that if he does that for me, he will do it for you. And I also know this, that throughout my entire ministry, well, throughout my entire life, I feel that God has always put me in a place where I was desperate for him. We were doing things, you know, we were doing things like the singing Christmas tree. We were doing big events. The first thing that I did as an event was the singing Christmas tree. I've never directed a thing in my life. And the first thing I do is down at the Center for the Arts with thousands of people in attendance and all these people on stage. I didn't know what I was doing. But I knew one thing, that if I got alone with the Lord and I began to worship him, and I began to praise him, it was through my times of worship. And by the way, that would be probably the one thing that I could say has been very consistent with me. My go-to has been worship. And I just come to a place in worship. You know, prayer is really important. And prayer for some of you would be the one thing. And prayer, you know, we all need to pray. We need to do it without ceasing. You just pray. But when I worship the Lord and the music begins to play, I feel something very special descend upon me. And I feel that God wants to perhaps give me a new revelation of who he is in that moment. But I become desperate. And I'm like, you know what? Without God, I can't do anything. Without God, I can't lead worship here on a Sunday morning. If you only knew who I was, every time I walk up to the platform, before I sit down to the organ, I'm like, God, it's got to be you today, because I heard what I was doing over here yesterday, and it didn't really sound that great. But I begin to worship, and I begin to tell him, I need you. Oh, how I need you. Because if I don't have you in the center of what I am doing, it's just a loud noise. And I know there are some people who say, well, it is a loud noise. Perhaps. But I always pray that it's a joyful noise unto the Lord. And before I sit down, I go, Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Sing it with me. And without you, think about this, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. We're just going to let that simmer just for a second. Yes, Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one, the only one that guides my heart. This is a prayer song. Sing, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Let's declare it together right now. Sing, Lord, so faithful. I found him to be so constant. He's so loving and so true, so powerful in all you do. You fill me, and you see me. You know my every move, and you love for me to sing to you. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. And I know that you, even if to write upon my heart, to remind me you're so patient and so gracious, so merciful and true, so wonderful in all you do. You fill me and you see me, Lord. You know my every move, and you love for me to sing to you. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. And I know that you have come now, even if to write upon my heart, to remind me of who you are, Jesus. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come, even if to write upon my heart, to remind me of who. To talk to you about my story. The earliest memory that I have in church was with my mom. And my mom was a devout Catholic, and so she would go to church often in the morning, and they would do that during the week. So many mornings during the week she would go to church. And I don't remember too much about that, but I do remember going to church on a Sunday morning. And I was very young, maybe 3 or 4, I don't know. But I know one thing I remember. I would stand on the pew, and she'd be sitting here, and I'd kind of lean into her, you know how kids do, you know. And that's kind of how we did church. And I remember one day, we're in church, and it's very quiet, and all of a sudden, there was this sound that filled the sanctuary. And for the first time ever, it was like something is happening. And I turned around in the pew, and I began to look up in the back, because that's where it was coming from. And so I remember I would stare at it. My mom was not too happy about that. She kept saying, turn around, and sit down, sit down. And I would turn around, And then I kept doing this. I kept going to the back. Something was coming from the back of the church that I was very, very drawn to. And there was a feeling that I felt. Now remember, this was very young, okay, very young. There was a feeling that I felt when I heard the music play. And then I just remembered, this is special. I was a little kid. This is special. I don't know what this is. And then it was a little bit after that, you know. So every time we go to church, my mom would fight with me because I'd stand on the pew and I would turn around. I was more interested in what was happening back here than I was up there, because up there I didn't understand any of it. And so, but over here there was a sound that drew me, got my attention. Music wasn't new to me, even at that young age, because there was always a radio playing in our house. There was always music being played, but I was never called to music like I was that day and that I was after that moment. And then I remember, maybe a few years later, my grandmother bought a Sears organ. And so we would go over to her house, and there was this thing sitting in the living room that had not been there before. And I didn't really know anything about it, but because I was a little boy and curious about anything electronic, I would go over and turn it on and listen to the fan in it run, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And I would, hit notes, and it made noise. And that didn't do too much for me. But over to the side, there were all these buttons. And if I pressed a button, it gave a full chord. And I just kept pressing buttons and buttons and buttons, and my mom would walk over and say, what in the world are you doing? And I would say to her, Mom, it's church. Because they were full chords over here, and it sounded like the music that I heard in the church. And I would just play it over and over. And they would put up with it for a while because, grandmas do that. But even after a while, it was like, would you please turn that thing off? But I just wanted to keep hitting the buttons, because it reminded me of church. And then anyway, we did that for a while. That was a few more years. And things in my family began to change. And my parents were separated. And then they married again. And when my dad married my stepmother, and I will just tell you right now, you will get confused when I talk about my mom, because I refer to both mothers as mothers, because I was very young when my dad got married. And when my dad got married, his wife belonged to the Methodist Church. And so we would go to this little, the Methodist Church on the corner, a little white building, and it wasn't really very big, but in my mind it was huge. And anyway, we would go there, and the music there was very different. And I remember asking my dad, can I go up front? I wanted to go up front. And the reason I wanted to go up front, because up front there were this huge choir off to the side. There's probably 8 people in it. And then over here there was this big, organ or something. I didn't really know what it was. But as all I knew is that the person playing it would hit these buttons, and then all these things would go down and they would go up, and it made a lot of noise. And of course, I was attracted to loud noise. And so I would just watch that, and I just wanted to be up front. And then these people in the choir, they were really old too. They were like 30 and 40 years old up there. And I remember thinking, wow, there are a bunch of old people up there, but they sing. And I was really enjoying that. But you need to understand something. It wasn't just the music that attracted me. Remember, in my home, there was music playing all the time, but that music did not call to me. But you put me in church, and you get this little group of people over here singing, and you get this person over here playing this great big thing, and all of a sudden, I was drawn. I had to sit in the front row. And my dad's like, we are not sitting in the front row. And I'm like, good, I don't want you there anyway. I just want to be up there. So, I can't believe he let me do it, but he did. And so every Sunday, I would go. And then I got talking with the person who played the instrument. And she would say, just come up here and sit on the bench with me. And she would let me turn it on and off. because I thought that was kind of cool. And it made all this noise, too, by the way, you know. And I thought that was really kind of cool. And then that year, my dad noticed that I really did have an interest in music, and they bought me this little organ that kind of sat on a table. And by the way, it was very cool back then, okay? Very cool back then. Now they're keyboards, but back then they were these little organs that sat on tables. But so anyway, and he put it in my bedroom because he thought that if it was in the bedroom, he didn't have to listen to it. And so I would be up there all the time, and I would, like, start playing the songs. And they bought me books, and they had all these numbers and all these notes. But they weren't songs that I liked. They were like "Auld Lang Syne" and "Mary Had a Little Lamb" and all this stuff. And I remember I had a moment, and I ran downstairs, and we had hymnals in our church back then because everyone who went to the Methodist church had a hymnal in their home. It's just, I don't know, you just did. You bought a hymnal. And so my dad bought a hymnal, and so I took it upstairs to my bedroom, and it was like God showing me, and this is when school started, that this note in this book that had a one, if I found that note in the hymnal and wrote a one on it, it would sound the same. So I took my favorite hymns at the time. I was a hymn person. I loved hymns. The first one was "O 4,000 Tongues to Sing, My Great Redeemer's Praise." And I started writing all of the numbers. And then by the end of the night, I could play by number that hymn. So every day what I would do is I would try to learn a new hymn. And that was my goal as a little boy. I just wanted to play. I wanted that feeling that was in church in my bedroom. It's hard to explain. Remember, music wasn't new to me, but this was different. This was different. I was in a school, what I believe now to be a school of preparation. So I did that for a long time. And, you know, again, a few more years go by, and then in the summertime, I'd be out playing with friends like everyone else, every other little kid, and we'd be riding our bikes, and we'd be doing our stuff. And up down the street, maybe a couple blocks, there was this huge, what I thought to be a huge cathedral, and it was a large church. And we would be riding our bikes down there in the summertime. The windows in the church would be open, and every once in a while, I would hear music. And I would distance myself from my friends, and I would park the bike and sit on the steps. And all my friends would leave, and I just sat there. There was something about that place that became special. I just wanted to be where that sound was. I wanted to experience that as much as I could. In the Methodist church, we had a lady who played the piano, and she didn't read music, she just played. And she played kind of jazzy, and I kind of liked it. And she would show me a few things on the piano, things that were show me how to put my left hand with the melody that I was playing with my right hand. And anyway, I met with her for a few times, and she went to my parents, and she said, "You know what, I believe he has a gift. He has an unusual desire to learn to play music, and he wants to only play church music. So I think you need to get him a piano." Well, my dad didn't understand that. He's like, you know, every kid wants to do something like that that would cost a parent a lot of money, and then they will never use it, you know. And so my dad, you know, told her thanks, but no thanks. But you know what? This little old lady, she did not stop. She was relentless with my dad. She's like, "You have got to buy him a piano. He has got to start this. He's got to start playing. And he has a gift." My dad didn't know what that even meant. But you know the most unusual thing? That Christmas, guess who got a piano for Christmas? I got a piano. And I remember my dad's with the piano came a little note on it. Said, "For Christmas, you're going to get piano lessons." So I took piano lessons for 9 months. And then my piano teacher died. And that was the... Yeah, well, my dad did, you know. And it was like, you know, I took for 9 months, and anyway, that was the end of the piano lessons. And then I started playing in the school band, and I played the saxophone. And it was in the school band that I really learned how to really read music and kind of learn some of the theory stuff. And I was really into the saxophone. And, you know, I did that throughout middle school. Our schools in Bay City went from sixth grade to eighth grade, and then high school started at ninth grade, and I did it through 12th. And I was in the band the entire time and really enjoyed that. But I got to tell you something, music wasn't new to me. I loved playing my horn, and then I continued with the organ. And by the way, I was raised in a high school that had an organ in their auditorium, and when they had assemblies, the school was so big, there were 4,000 students, so when they had an assembly, they had four assemblies, one for each class. And so the principal, who kind of became a friend of mine, he would call me out of class to go down to the auditorium, because whenever they had an assembly, they had to sing the national anthem and they had to sing the school song. And they did it with an organ. Can you believe that, in a high school? And so I continued to do all that. And I really enjoyed that, enjoyed the band. I enjoyed filling in the orchestra for the school with the organ. I enjoyed all of that. However, it was just a fun thing to do. It was just an activity. But when I would go to the church, oh, that was another story. You couldn't keep me off it. You couldn't keep me from not wanting to sing. I wanted to be involved in the worship services. I wanted to do all of those things. I learned to play all the hymns. I made it a commitment. There were 552 hymns in the hymnal, and I learned every one of them. 552, check it out, the Red Methodist Hymnal. There's 552. I can even tell you what the last title was. I learned to do that. My dad got so tired of hearing hymns. This is kind of funny, actually, okay? My dad came home from work one day, and he had a Dr. Zhivago or something like that book, and it had Somewhere My Love in it. And he said, here, I want you to stop playing the hymns, start playing these songs, because I'm really tired of all of those hymns. I don't want to hear church music anymore. Play Somewhere My Love. Well, I did. I learned how to play. It was good for me. It wasn't the same. So I went back to hymns. And he kind of, you know, he put up with it, you know. But I got to tell you, at that same time, things began to change. Our family life wasn't doing too well. My mother, my birth mother at that point, decided that she needed to move to Texas and left me with my dad and my stepmother. And my brother got involved in drugs in a big-time way. And during that time, those were not happy times in my family, not happy times at all. And something happened with me. I just wanted to be at church. And so the pastor at my church was a very good man. And he would come over to the church, and he'd hear me in a Sunday school room playing on the piano or doing whatever. And then he came to me one day, and he said, you know what, you really have an interest in the organ, don't you? And I said, I do. And he said, and you can't play it, can you? And I'm like, no, it's locked. He said, I'm going to make a deal with you, and it's going to be just a secret between you and I. I have a key to that organ, and I'm going to put it on the back of the pew that I sit in on Sunday morning on the platform. So it's over on the left-hand side. There's a little nail on the back of it, and that will be the key for the organ. You just come in, and I want you to play and play and play. So I would sneak over there every day after school, and I would play the organ for maybe 3 or 4 hours, and I just played and played and played. But people, it wasn't just that I was playing an instrument. I was addicted to this presence. I had to be in the sanctuary. I had to be making music. I had to be singing. Something was going on. don't think, oh, well, he's the musician. No. It wasn't all about me playing. It was about what happened when I started to play. And anyway, this pastor, he would come in and he would listen and he would say, you're getting better, you're getting better. And then one day he came to me, he said, Leon, I really believe that you're going to be a church organist. And I believe that you're going to lead people in worship as they sing. And maybe someday you'll even direct a choir. He said, please keep practicing. Every day, I would find myself at church and I'd be in school. The church was school for me. I learned. I played. I felt God in that place. I felt God as I played. I didn't understand that. And then I got to go to church camp. I believe in church camp. I believe that it's very, very important. You know, if you ever have an opportunity to send a young person to camp, send them. I went to church camp. It was in Sheboygan, Michigan. And at church camp and an outdoor service, I gave my heart to the Lord. And it was like just one of the most incredible experiences I had. Now, I had already felt and sensed the presence of God, but I had not made that public. You know, it was like, yeah, I know God, you know. I mean, I've been in church for a long time now, and I'm at the church all the time. I know God. But it was at camp that I gave my heart to the Lord, that I said, you know what, I need to do this. I need to go up front. I need to say, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and tell everyone. And so I did that. And I did tell everyone because it was a big deal to me. I wanted everyone to know that I just wasn't a musician, but I was a follower of Jesus. And it was the United Methodist Church camp, and it was one of my favorite experiences in my entire life. The sanctuary was always a special place for me and continues to be today. Often on Saturdays, you'll find me upstairs alone. Because it's a place where I meet the Lord. Some people, you know, you can call it an auditorium. I don't care what you call it. But when I'm there, it's my sanctuary. It's that place of safety. It's that place where I just want to make music. I just want to worship the Lord. I just want to have a new revelation of who he is in my life. And that happens when I worship. It's been my go-to thing forever. Going back now, I didn't understand the Bible. I didn't understand theology. But I did know one thing. And that is, when I would go and practice, I knew that God was there. I did become the church organist, and I started playing when I was very young. And I remember every time I would get together to practice, it was like this God thing. God just kept making himself so real to me. I just knew that he was there. When all of that stuff was going on, my family issues really began to ramp up. My brother now was not living with us, and then he'd come back and live with us, and it wouldn't go well, and then he'd go away. I wasn't sure what all that was all about. I just knew it was happening. And then one day I went to the church, and people in the church were talking about some affair, and I didn't even know what that was. But my friend, the pastor, was no longer there, and neither was the choir director. This is the guy who believed in me. My parents didn't understand what was going on in here. And not only that, they were wrapped up with their own issues. But this guy, he loved me, and he gave me all kinds of chances. He saw something in me that I didn't know existed, and he spoke it over me and into existence, by the way. Be careful with your words. He spoke it into existence, but he fell. my family was a mess. But when it happened in church, that rocked my world. I couldn't believe that happened. I continued to just involve myself in church, to press into God, to play, to sing, to lead people in worship the way that we worshiped in the Methodist Church. And then I had this most amazing moment on a Sunday morning. It was the third hymn. It was after the message. Can't tell you what the message was. Can't even tell you who gave the message. But I'm playing. And they began to sing. We began to sing a song, and I was leading it. And it's a song, to be honest with you, I've never sung in this church. But it was when we sang it there, that moment, that something happened in me. What happened, how I would describe what happened to me, it doesn't necessarily fit into my theology, but I felt like the Spirit of God himself just was imparted in me. Something different happened. And I will never forget it. This is the song. It goes, "Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide." Now, in the Methodist Church, we weren't accustomed to people crying. And I'm playing, and I'm crying. Especially when I got to this part. "Oh Jesus, thou hast promised," I was really banking on this, "to all who follow thee." It hit me for the first time. "That where thou art in glory, my promise, there shall thy servant be." And this was mine to him. "And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend." Oh, it was sitting at the organ that day. He just wasn't my Lord and Savior. He was my friend. And the one person that was closest to me was gone. And in that moment, in that Sunday following that horrific day, Jesus moved in and said, "I'm your friend. I am your friend." And to think that I was going to be with him someday forever was all new to me. I didn't understand what was going on. Remember, I didn't have a lot of Bible knowledge. I understood church stuff, liturgy. But understand the realness of a relationship with him. Right after that, in fact, it was probably that same week, a Sunday school teacher said, you know what? There's something really incredible happening in the United Methodist Church. There's this thing called the Holy Spirit Conference. And we're all going to Flint. And so we all went to Flint, and it was unlike anything I ever heard. And that was over, I think, a Friday and a Saturday. And then we had church back in Essexville on Sunday. And my Sunday school teacher said, I'm going to a place tonight that I really want you to come with me. And I'll pick you up at your house if your dad will let you go. And so I went home and said, Dad, you know, our Sunday school teacher wants to take us to a church over in Saginaw. And so he didn't have a problem with that. And so she would come pick me up, and we went to Saginaw first. And we got there 45 minutes early, and we got in the very back seats. I mean, the place is packed. And then these people came out on the platform. And there was someone at a piano, and there was someone on the organ on another side. In the center, there were a huge choir, maybe 40, 50 people. Huge. 45 minutes before the service started, they come out and they start playing their instruments, and the person at the organ began to sing. Except these weren't songs in my hymn book. I didn't know what these songs were. This was definitely a new song. And they sang, and they sang, and it was like they sang these songs that I didn't know what they were. But that feeling when I was a kid practicing in the sanctuary was there, except for it was on steroids. I couldn't believe it. And then the most unusual thing happened. When the lady was done with her song, she kept playing the chords on the instrument, just kept going like what Travis is doing right now. And then she'd say, Lord, I bless you. I praise you. I give you honor and glory. And all the people in the sanctuary began to do it. And there was a sound in that room that I had never heard before, because there were hundreds of people doing the same thing what she was doing. And it's all I knew is I never wanted that sound to stop. I never wanted it to stop for a moment. I wanted to listen to it over and over and over. And they were singing songs, and then they weren't singing songs, but yet they were singing. And then this lady was so incredible that she knew many languages, and she began to sing. And I don't know what it was, Spanish perhaps, maybe it was French. I don't know what it was. I just thought it was the most interesting thing. And I'm like, well, isn't that really cool? Listen to her go, you know? And then all the people around me began to sing in this other language. And I'm like, well, that is the most amazing thing. I never knew that so many people knew more than just the English language. You know, I mean, this is my thinking, but I didn't want them to stop. I didn't need it explained away. I just didn't want it stopped. And then we would stay in church for a couple hours, and I would go home. And I'd go right up to my bedroom, and I'd lay in bed, and I'd cry. Because I'm like, Lord, I want to do more than just my hymns. I want to sing those kinds of songs. I want to feel that feeling every day. I really want that in my life, Lord. And I got to really speed up here. After that went on for a while, we had a guest speaker back in my home church. It was some lady that taught at the college, and anyway, she came and she spoke, and actually she was really good. I remember thinking, wow, this lady is, you know, she's really good. And after the service that she spoke at, they were having a coffee hour, which they did every week. But but they were celebrating my fifth year as organist. And so I got to be the guest of honor. And the lady, her name was Liz, she stayed. And when the coffee hour began to wind down, she said to me, I want to talk to you before I leave. And I'm like, okay. She said, I want you to know that when you play, that there's something different that I felt. You weren't just playing, were you? Well, I didn't know what she meant, you know. And I'm like, well, yeah, I was playing. She said, but there's something different. She said, I want to tell you something. She said, I didn't know at the time, but it was a prophecy. She was prophesying over me. You see, this lady was the pastor's wife at the Assembly of God Church. She said, the Lord's got great plans for your life. And God is going to use you to bring people into his presence. And he's going to do it through singing. He's going to do it through all kinds of music venues. And so whatever you're doing, I want you to keep doing it. And I knew what was happening over in Saginaw, and I knew that there was this dimension. And as all I knew is that God bless this lady, because she came to me and she prophesied over me. And she told me what the Lord told. She said, the Lord told me to tell you something. By the way, when you say that to someone who grew up in the United Methodist Church, I'm like, okay. She told me that, and I hung on to it. And then eventually I ended up going over to the Assembly of God Church, and I was there for a few years, and that pastor had an affair. And I couldn't believe that happened. And it's like the little talk in the church again, they were clearly struggling. But it was like, I know the drill here. I know how this goes. You know, you just got to like ride it out. It didn't affect my relationship with the Lord. In fact, if anything, whenever anything like that happened, it just drew me right to him, because it was time for me to get my eyes off people and get them on God, because it was all about God. So they brought in another person, and after about 6 months, guess what? He had an affair. So I'm going to really speed up my story. So then I decided it was time for me to get out of Bay City and start brand new. And there was a friend of mine who was an evangelist, and he called me at work one day and said, can you get me at the Midland Church? I want to get some services. I called the guy at the Midland Church, and I said, I got a friend here. His name is Henry, and he would love to come and preach at your church. And Henry was a really good friend of mine. He was a little out there, but he was a great friend. And so anyway, the guy at the Assembly of God Church in Midland, Michigan said yes. And so Henry came. By the way, his name was Henry Hinn. He was Benny Hinn's brother. And he came and he did services. I thought he was crazy. You know, he was doing things that I didn't understand. But I'd go and play for him, and, you know, we'd all have a great time. But anyway, to make a long story short, I ended up coming here and was here for 3 years. And the pastor had an affair. That was 4 for 4. People, it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters. My relationship with the Lord, what it did for me is it drew me to him. I remember the business meeting here in this church where they announced that our pastor was no longer with us. That meeting, by the way, did not go so well. There was a lot of argument. I've never seen anything quite like it. But you know what I did? New to the church, I mean, I'd only been here 3 years. I got up at the end of the meeting, and I went up to the organ. It was in the chapel. It's where our meeting was, because that was the sanctuary at that time. And I got up, and I turned on the organ. I sat down, and I began to sing, Something Beautiful something good. And I remember looking at the church thinking, all of our confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. And I remember thinking, all we had to offer him is brokenness and strife, but I knew God was going to make something beautiful. And I'll tell you what, we just worshiped, and we worshiped that night. You were there that night. We worshiped the Lord. That meeting didn't end very well, but the end of the night ended fantastic, because we just were a group of people who began to worship the Lord, knew he was going to lead us, knew he was going to direct us. And I know that that was kind of a down time. In the reality, it was a very hurtful time. But my go-to one thing was, when I worshiped the Lord, he brought peace in the midst of a storm. He would give me the right perspective when I worship him. And even to this day, when I'm having a bad day, the best thing I can do is to say, something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, he understood. Sing it with me. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something so beautiful of my life. So see, as a young boy who was 3 or 4, standing in the Catholic church on a pew next to his mom, you know, it started there, and then it moved on, and then I learned so much about the Lord, and I grew up in a home where, you know, it was what it was. I had wonderful parents. They loved me. I never doubted their love for me, but they were a little confused at times. And it was okay. And I grew up in a church who had struggles. It was real life. But through it all, my one thing to go to was to go to the Lord and to worship him and to bring glory and honor to him, to lift him up high, and he would descend in this powerful way, and he would make something beautiful out of the mess. And God will make something beautiful out of your mess too, by the way. I am so grateful for the church we now are. We are a healthy church and have been that way for about 30 years. And that is a big thank you, Jesus, you know. And it's like I told Pastor earlier, I said, you know what, I figured out the first 4 guys that I worked with, all their ministry all ended bad. I am so grateful that we've got a man who's been called of God, and his wife who is by his side constantly to speak encouragement to him. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be speaking encouragement to one another, to our leadership, because it's very, very important, because sometimes things can end bad. But we have the ability to speak good things. We have the ability to come together and to worship the Lord and declare his goodness and his faithfulness, and to have people like this to teach us and to lead us into the spirit of truth, into all things. I love the Lord. I have been through stuff. Someone said to me Sunday after church, well, you know what? We didn't all grow up in a perfect family like you. I had that said to me upstairs you don't understand. There's real people out there. And I'm like, oh, if you only knew. If you only knew. You guys, God is the best. He is ever faithful. He is the glory in the lifter of our heads. When things go bad, God takes a mess and he makes it for good. And every time the enemy would try to do something to derail me, I would just watch the Lord kind of come in and say, no, I don't think so. You know, we're going to go this direction now. We're going to go that direction now. We're going to do something. We're going to do something. And I love you guys. I know I'm over a little bit, but I just want you to know, God is amazing. God is faithful. And if he can do it in my life, he can certainly do it for you. I wish I could have turned this into a 6-week series, trust me. I know. But I just wanted you to know, it hasn't always been fun. It hasn't always been good, but God has always been faithful. Amen. Lord, I thank you for our night here. I thank you that you make something beautiful out of each and every one of our lives. You're the best. Lord, we just proclaim that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the faithful God. You're the glory and the lifter of our heads. You make us victors. We are not victims, but we are a victorious people tonight. And Lord, I thank you that through worship that we can literally commune with you as you commune with us. Lord, you have a way of changing us as we get into your presence. You cause us to be more like you. And oh God, how we desire that. Every day of our lives, we want to be more like you. Now God, we love you. I pray for these people. Bless them, I pray. I pray, God, that you would put your angels over each and every one of them. Protect them. Guide them, oh Lord. And God, I pray that we'd have the most incredible week. I pray that we would be a light in a community that desperately needs you. Now, Lord, we do praise you. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. Next week, Pastor Pat and Christine are going to be leading. So don't miss it, okay? Next week, same place. Choir, you will be in the choir room, though, okay? I love you all.